Service design tools. Service design tools discussed next include the service design matrix, use of the product process matrix for services, the service gap analysis matrix, and the process chain network, PCN, diagram. Service design matrix. The service design matrix explores how to design services based on the degree of service customization that is allowed and the degree of contact that the customer has with the service representative. Exhibit 4-31 shows the service design matrix. At the top left, in-person interactions that the customer and/or the service provider are empowered to customize will increase the likelihood of a sale and the perceived service value, but will also entail greater expense. In the middle part of the spectrum are services that neither the customer nor the service provider has much leeway to alter, but these still provide direct interaction. Note how service designs in the bottom right, such as direct mailings or automated interactions, are efficient to operate, but also have low sales conversion rates and perceived value. Exhibit 4-31, Service Design Matrix. To understand the value of moving from moderate to high interaction and customization, consider a fast food restaurant versus a sit-down restaurant, both with food of a similar grade. Each still has some in-person contact, but fast food employees are not allowed much or any leeway to customize what is offered, and the degree of contact is significantly less. The sit-down restaurant has higher interaction and likely higher customization. This raises the cost of the services as well as the perceived value of the service, both enabling and requiring the restaurant to charge higher prices. Product process matrix and service industries. The product process matrix can be adapted to services if one considers that instead of processing materials, service industries process customers, for example, patients in hospitals, clients in professional firms, guests in the hospitality industries, users in online services, and so on. The relationship between volume and variety that the product process matrix applies to organizations applies to providing services as well. Refer to Exhibit 4-32 as we contrast the following examples from the field of financial services. Exhibit 4-32, Product Process Matrix and Service Environments. In the high variety, low volume part of the matrix, we could locate a prestigious accounting firm that offers its clients a variety of services, from commercial accounting and auditing to high-value estate planning and tax consultation. The firm's varied resources are brought to bear on one point, the client, in each engagement. The firm has many units of technology, its advisors. The interaction is highly personal. Services are not automatically integrated. Additional resources can be brought in at the client's request. The firm may, in fact, discourage integration of client data for legal and security reasons. In the middle of the matrix, we might see a business that offers limited services, for example, tax preparation, to retail customers. The services are less varied, and the number of customers is larger than with the financial services firm. Each office may share technology. The service is computer-driven, but requires human workers to gather and enter correct and complete information and make judgments about how to handle the client's situation. The work is repetitive. Client needs are similar and involve similar actions. The work is somewhat integrated in that headquarters auditors have access to all filings and can review them individually for quality. Upgrading to live support options in an online tax software system would also fit in this middle category. In the low variety, high volume quadrant, we could locate a business that offers online tax preparation. A large number of clients use essentially identical software to calculate and file tax returns. Customers do not interact with human employees, only technology. The system is integrated with a maintenance program, an auditing function, and a cybersecurity system. Service gap analysis matrix. It is important to determine how well existing services are designed and to determine how to improve them when there are gaps between what the organization thinks key customer segments want and what they actually want. In this type of gap analysis, the idea is to determine the most important areas for redesign based on what is or needs to be a value-added service, while also identifying areas that are not perceived to be value-added and could be eliminated to save cost without impacting customer satisfaction much. A gap analysis could take data from customer surveys, complaints, and so on. A service gap analysis matrix compares customer satisfaction perceptions against the customer importance of a given service. And this creates four quadrants, as shown in Exhibit 4-33. Exhibit 4-33, Service Gap Analysis Matrix. A service that is perceived as having low quality, but that is also relatively unimportant, results in slight irritations that could be addressed, but only if the response is inexpensive to implement. On the other hand, a service that is perceived as having high quality, but that is still unimportant, is non-value added, and it might be eliminated or made more efficient. For example, less time could be spent on it. For the two quadrants where customers feel that the services are of high importance, if the service is already perceived as high quality, then these are value added and need to be maintained. The key area for continuous improvement or service redesign is services that are of high importance, but that are perceived as having low quality. PCN diagrams. A process chain network, PCN, diagram is a tool for service design that is like a swim lane flowchart, in that the flowchart is divided into zones, as shown in Exhibit 4-34. This exhibit shows an example of a hair salon that sells customizable products for use in the salons. Exhibit 4-34. PCN diagram for a hair salon with custom products. The innermost zone is for independent processes, which are processes under the direct control of the organization. The degree of process control is highest in this zone. The other zones go toward the supplier on one side and the customer on the other, with decreasing degrees of process control in both directions. The indirect interaction, also called surrogate interaction, zones are for when the organization is acting on the supplier's or customer's resources, such as interacting with a resupply website in the supplier case, or customizing services or products based on a customer's needs and promise for payment. The furthest zones out are for direct interactions with suppliers and customers. For suppliers, this includes negotiating contracts and providing product specifications. For customers, this includes service customizations, order taking, and service provision. The model can be extended to include suppliers' suppliers or customers' customers. Visualizing services in this way creates the following benefits. It makes it clear what entity is responsible for what task. For example, perhaps the supplier will collaborate on hair care product design. If so, this would be in the direct interaction zone. It indicates areas where the entity has to work within the constraints created by another party, supplier or customer. It indicates areas where direct interaction will be required for success. Direct interaction with customers are the front room functions.